Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q3 2019 investor call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Aurora Davidson. Please go ahead, Ms. Davidson.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the third quarter 2019 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources. I'm Aurora Davidson, Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin the presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Forward-looking information will include, among other things, forecasts and projections about our copper production for the year, which involves known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause actual results, performance, or achievements to be materially different from such forecasts and projections. Therefore, although we believe that anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on such forward-looking information. We direct you to our press release issued on November the 6th, our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking information, and the material factors that could cause the actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. Except as required by law, we undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking information made in this presentation. Rob Henderson, the company's President and Chief Executive Officer, will now provide an operational and corporate update.
Thank you, Aurora, and thank you everyone for joining the call. We are talking to you today from ABC in Chile, and the situation here at the mine is business as usual. The atmosphere is calm. As many of you know, Chile has been rocked by recent demonstrations and street protests, primarily in Santiago. However, we believe that cooler heads will prevail, and government discussions are currently underway to resolve the situation. We are happy to report continued positive support from our stakeholders. The union at MVC recently signed a three-year labor contract. Our lenders have reduced MVC's semi-annual principal payments, and El Teniente is delivering smelter slag to MVC for toll processing. The low copper price remains the single largest negative factor affecting our business. The recorded copper price for the quarter was $2.62 per pound. This quarterly price is the lowest received by MVC since 2016. We continue to believe that the fundamentals for copper remain positive, with lower future supply driven by supply-side under-investment. This is despite short-term demand concerns related to the global trade war. At today's copper price of $2.65 a pound, we expect to generate sufficient operating cash flow to meet all our current liabilities, and in part, this is due to the fact that MVC's royalty obligations to El Teniente decreased with a decrease in copper price. Now our semi-annual debt payments are much lower than before. Amerigo's earnings for the third quarter 2019 were negative $2.1 million, and the company generated cash flow of $3 million from operations. Copper production, including slag toll processing, was a quarterly record at 19.1 million pounds, and molybdenum production was half a million pounds. The copper production included 11.1 million pounds from Cauquenes, 5 million pounds from fresh tailings. MVC started to process the El Teniente slag in mid-August 2019, and we gained an unbudgeted 3 million pounds of copper in the quarter. We're now doing about that amount every month, and MVC expects to continue processing slag into the first quarter of 2020. The cash cost for Q3 was $1.56 a pound, which is a big improvement on Q2's cash cost of $1.97. We are maintaining our 2019 guidance of 70 million-75 million pounds of copper at a cash cost of $1.60-$1.75 per pound. The quality of material from Cauquenes has improved, and grade and recovery are significantly higher than the previous two quarters. The plant at MVC is still not performing at its best, and recovery is lower than originally projected. MEC have recently completed a detailed plant audit and have identified areas for improvement. The CapEx light projects, such as changes in plant configurations, will be completed this year. However, the one big factor that is affecting recovery is a shortage of water. Here in the province, so the city of Rancagua, we're currently experiencing the worst drought in 60 years, and annual rainfall here to date is less than half of prior years. This means that there's less water available than necessary to run the plant equipment such as cyclones and flotation cells at their optimal efficiency. MEC have identified a project that will significantly increase the quantity of internal water recycled from its existing thickeners. However, this will require a $2 million investment and 6 months to install. This would form part of our normal sustaining CapEx budget, which, by the way, does not require more investment in a new Carlkena sump next year, as the current sums are more than sufficient. I'll now hand you over to Aurora to discuss the details of the financials.
Thank you, Rob. We're pleased to present the third quarter report of 2019 from MVC in Chile. The third quarter marked improvements in production and financial results when compared to quarters one and two of the year. Rob has provided the highlights for production results already. In terms of financial results, Amerigo posted a net loss of $2.1 million in the quarter, down from a net loss of $6.6 million in the preceding quarter. The single main factor driving the Q3 net loss was a $1.6 million loss on modification of debt posted under international financial reporting standards. Normalized loss without this item would have been $600,000. Loss per share in the quarter was 1 cent. Rob rightly mentioned that copper price continues to be the challenge affecting the company's financial performance. Amerigo's copper price in Q3 was $2.62 per pound, compared to today's price of $2.69 per pound, but a lower quarterly price than in Q1 or Q2. The price resulted in gross copper sales of $43.6 million and negative settlement adjustments to prior quarter sales of $875,000. As items deducted from revenue, we had $8.8 million in royalties to El Teniente, smelting and refinery costs of $5.4 million, and transportation costs of $512,000, resulting in net copper revenue of $28.1 million. The company also had a molybdenum revenue of $4.4 million and black processing revenue of $1.4 million for total revenue in Q3 of $33.9 million. Total production and tolling costs, including depreciation, were $32.9 million. The company's cash cost was down to $156 in Q3 compared to $197 in Q2 and $2.03 in Q1 of this year. Other general and administrative expenses were $826,000, and other gains were $761,000. Finance expense in the quarter was $3.6 million, higher than our normal quarterly finance cost as a result of two items. The first one was the loss and modification of debt that I have alluded to already, of $1.6 million, which is a non-cash item. And there was also the unwinding of an interest rate swap associated with MVC's former debt on mark-to-market adjustments to the new interest rate swap taken with the debt refinance in the amount of $836,000, of which $300,000 were an actual cash outlay. The company posted an income tax recovery of $624,000 and a net loss of $2.1 million. In respect of cash flow in the quarter, cash generated from operations was $3 million, and after changes in working capital, net cash from operations was $1.2 million. Use of cash in the quarter included $4.2 million used in investing activities, repayment of borrowings of $2.7 million from debt principal payable on June the 30th, but processed by the bank on the first banking day of July, and $1.1 million paid on transaction fees associated with MVC's debt refinance. Ending cash at September 30th was $1.6 million. From the information presented above, the single most significant item to note was MVC's debt refinance. I should note that no additional funds were borrowed. The total amount owed to our lenders remained unchanged at $56.3 million. The refinance has three major components: an extension of term from December 2000 to September 2023, a change in the structure of repayment from semi-annual payments of $11.3 million each to seven semi-annual payments of $4.7 million and a final payment of $23.5 million on September 2023. and a reduction of interest rate, including locking 80% of the debt's interest through an interest rate swap. The debt refinance provides us with needed flexibility under current copper price constraints and continues to provide MVC with the ability to make anticipated debt payments under the right conditions should these arise in the near term. Another item to note in this call, although it occurred subsequent to quarter end, was MVC successfully locking in a three-year collective agreement with its 208-member union. A unique feature in Chile, on signing up collective agreements, unions demand the payment of a signing bonus, which is not of an insignificant amount. For MVC, the total cost of the signing bonuses was approximately $2.2 million paid in two equal installments on October 2019 and March 2020. Very unusual in Chile. The full amount of the bonus will be recognized as a labor cost in Q4 2019, irrespective of the time of payment. MVC signed its labor agreement at the time when a number of mining operations in Chile went into labor strike precisely in disagreement over signing bonuses. Operations and results in Q4 continue in line with expectations and guidance. We will report year-end financial results mid-February 2020, and in the meantime, we want to thank you for your continued interest in the company during this year. Rob and I will now take questions from call participants.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Joseph Rieger of Las Vegas. Please proceed.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the questions.
Hi, John.
Yes. Hi. So you mentioned, you know, the plant recoveries haven't been what were expected for Coconas since the expansion. I think the original expectation was something in line with maybe like 45%. Is that right?
Yeah, it was in the high 40s.
Okay. And if you fix this water issue, do you think that'll get you back to that? Or do you think, you know, based on everything you've experienced so far, maybe the reality is more in the low 40s?
Yeah, you know, we've been surprised too many times by recovery to make bold predictions, but, you know, we did have a very good meeting with all the metallurgists and consultants, and we've identified, you know, about five or six areas where, you know, the data shows we can improve. The water, you know, alone shows we can get, you know, up to about, you know, 4 or 5 percentage points on Coconas. So water will get us, you know, halfway there, and, you know, the other ones are going to be on top of that. So, you know, we may not get back up to the high 40s, but I'm optimistic we're going to get back, you know, a significant amount that we've lost.
Okay. And then long-term processing and grades, what do you guys think the annual operating rate from Coconas can get up to? Obviously, this year's fallen a little short of expectations, and then obviously, the grade, at least in the first two quarters, was weaker than expected, but it recovered quite a bit there in the third. Is that, you know, do you think you can stay at that 0.27 going forward, or what's the thoughts there?
Certainly in the short term, you know, we're in the middle of doing a big drill hole analysis. So when we did the study, we were, you know, we basically had inferred resources based on 30 holes. We've increased that to, you know, over 80 holes, so we've got a lot more information. But that information is still being processed, so, you know, we're not ready yet to issue a new long-term mine plan. But, you know, I think recovery, we will get more kind of clarity on that in the next 6 months. And I think that's going to be the biggest factor which determines our, you know, long-term production rate.
Okay, but how about on just a tonnage basis? What do you think? What was the planned annual
tonnage is the easiest part. So we know we've maintained tonnage. We know we haven't lost any reserve tonnage. The tons per month is bang on target. We're running at 62,500. So tonnage is the easiest part of the equation. Grade, we're going to get a little bit more information when we've completed all the drill holes. But, you know, I don't think we're going to see huge deviations in grade. It may be a little bit softer. But recovery is still, you know, remains the biggest unknown. We've identified areas for opportunity, but, you know, they've yet to be fully baked yet to you know, give an accurate prediction on what future recovery is going to be.
Okay, fair enough.
You know,
and then
confident
maybe
that we have identified a lot of areas that are, you know, currently showing to be deficient, and we think we can fix them.
Okay. And then final one, just for Aurora, cash balance was a little light at the end of the quarter, but the receivables were back up, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we had a timing issue there. It's not a timing issue, it's just a timing reality of when you get payment. A quarter ends don't usually fall or don't necessarily fall on the date in which you get your payments from invoices. We actually had two major invoices paid the day after, so it's a shame they couldn't get through to us on September 30th to show a better picture. But as you mentioned correctly, we had a healthy balance of receivables that have all been realized by now, and our cash balance will certainly improve at quarter end.
Okay, so definitely no tightness there since early in the quarter.
Not the same tightness that is shown at September 30th. No, we are building up cash. We have to fund our debt service reserve account by December. So there is certainly an expectation of reported cash being substantially stronger than September 30th at year end.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Next question is from Stephen Ottridge of Vancouver. Please proceed.
Yes. Hello from Chile for you. Question: does the smelter slag that you are processing come from the smelter that NBC delivers its concentrate to?
It does not.
Oh.
It comes from the El Teniente smelter, which is just down the road. Our concentrate goes to other smelters, Ventanas, and, you know, even as far as China. The El Teniente smelter basically treats all of El Teniente's material. And with the new environmental regulations down there, they had to change their smelting process, and that significantly increased the grade of their slag. So that's why there is value in processing their slag right now.
So, but will they not have slag continue to build as they process? And perhaps process?
Correct. So, you know, Codelco recognized this and started building a plant some time ago. That plant has been seriously delayed. So now they have a big stockpile of slag, which needs processing. So that's what we're doing for them right now. And the plant is expected to start sometime next year, but, you know, we're expecting to carry on processing their slag, you know, well into Q1 next year.
Okay. Now, I got a question on the sumps. Your first sump had low quality material, and now
right.
you've got the new sump's been going since the middle of July. Are you still producing material from the old sump? And if so, does that continue into the future for any length of time?
So the old sump is gone.
Okay.
The old sump was about 30 meters down. The new sump is now, you know, right at the bottom of the deposit. So the sump that's currently there will continue processing material, you know, the deep material for, you know, the next, you know, 12 to 18 months. But, of course, you know, when you can't just take stuff from the bottom because the stuff from the top is going to slide down as well. So, we are going to continue seeing a mixture of material coming into the mill, but we do have access to the good stuff at the bottom of the deposit, whereas previously we did not.
Okay, so you'll have to build or construct or start working on a new sump in about 12, 18 months' time, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it'll be in 2021.
Okay. I think I know the answer, but there's no DET royalties left in arrears, is there? You paid them all off.
No, there's always fees and royalties in arrears because we basically pay them. It's 3 months plus a few weeks, so basically 4 months of payable. They're always shown in the balance sheet. We actually have a specific line called DEP royalties payables.
Oh, okay. So there, it is only.
It's just a normal cycle. We
right.
don't have any royalties that have fallen off that contractual payment schedule with them.
Yeah,
if that's what you mean.
It's business as usual.
Okay. Okay, that was all my questions.
Thanks, Stephen.
Thank you. The next question is from Nick Tor of Las Vegas. Please proceed.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Could you give me a little bit of color on your path to optimization? I know you said it's going to take roughly, 5-6 months. Could you sort of, give a little bit of color on what are the discrete elements you're focusing on? What is your level of confidence on whether that solves the issue? And how much of this optimization is due to the water issue that might just be transitory if we get a normal season next year?
Yeah. Hi, Nick. Thanks for the question. We've had 4 different consultants, plus all the MVT metallurgists and myself in a room. So, we've had 10 metallurgists all discussing what they think is the issue. And, of course, there are many issues. It's not just one. But fundamentally, we have a plant. The new plant is not being fully utilized. So, for whatever reason, it's not fully recovering all the copper it was designed to. So what that means is that we have plant capacity that's not being fully used. And we have other parts of the plant that are being severely stressed because of circulating loads and metallurgical issues. So the discussions have been on, these are very CapEx-light options of circuit configurations. And instead of sending material to one bunch of cells, you send it to another bunch of cells. And so there are a number of ways you can configure the circuit. So we've discussed, which parts are being stressed and which parts have been underutilized and how can we get a better overall utilization of the plant. So that, there must be about 4 or 5 or even 6 initiatives that don't involve CapEx, that are simply piping changes that will alleviate the stressed areas and filter capacity the unstressed areas. So those we are, implementing as we speak. And, we expect to have those all done by year end. And, the magnitude, again, we're kind of speculating here, but, we're thinking on the order of, 4 to 5% recovery increase. The big one is the water. Now, the area is experiencing a drought, so we're not getting as much water from El Teniente. And their tailings, we are limited in how much water we can recycle back to the plant because although we have reclaimed thickeners which recover the water, it gets pumped up to the plant in a single pipeline, and that pipeline is 100% full right now. So in order to get more water to the plant, we have to build another pipeline, and that's going to take the time and the money. But it will deliver significant quantities of water to the plant, which, again, I think, and tests have demonstrated that we can get another, 5% increase in recovery there. So I think we can get a long way just using CapEx-like programs in the short term, and in the middle of next year, when we have the amount of water that we normally would have, we think we're going to get, back up to close to where we should be. But, these things are not based on hard data. They're, based on 10 metallurgists combined, 200 years of experience. So they're good projects, but trying to put a hard number as to exactly how much copper we're going to recover is impossible to do. But we're confident that we've identified, more than enough potential issues that can be resolved without spending a ton of money. know, ideally we would put in a new flotation plant and we'd put in a new grinding mill, but that's going to cost $30 million, and we just don't have that, and we don't believe it's justified. So we are taking a CapEx-light view on how to fix these problems through circuit modification and, of course, addressing the water issue, which is, you know, which is a strategic one, because, you know, if Chile does enter into a big drought, it would, you know, threaten the ability of us to process Cauquenes at all.
As is occurring with other Chilean mines already.
Exactly. I mean, you know, mines have shut down, but there's no water. So, you know, water is a big issue.
Got it. So, so the first part is really, by the way, thank you for it. This is very helpful color. The first part is really a sort of a deep bottlenecking of the plant, which I'm not diminishing its importance, but seems like, you know, a technical issue that you can hopefully resolve. The second part of just building the pipeline, I know you mentioned the CapEx number, but if you could refresh my memory on that. But it seems like that is sort of an insurance policy also in case these drought conditions are more recurring, so that you don't have these kind of disruptions in the future. And with this new pipeline, you will have that effectively resolved by the middle of next year. Is that correct?
That is 100% correct. Yeah, we're estimating it's about $2 million to put all the modifications in. $2 million, yeah. You know, our sustaining CapEx is typically, you know, between 5 or 6. But next year, we don't have to spend $3 million on new sumps. So, you know, we do have a little bit of room for a project such as this, which does address our water security.
Got it. So you'll have the same fair $5 to $6 million guidance you've given for maintenance CapEx, and just a portion of it would go towards this pipeline.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't finalized the budget yet. We expect to spend less than that. We're trying to go as, you know, lean as we can on CapEx next year.
Got it. And last question for Aurora. I'm just looking at your cost structure this quarter versus last year, and there are two big items. One, obviously, slag revenue, which slag cost, which were roughly 4 cents, and then there's an inventory adjustment, which was roughly 11 cents a pound. Could you give me a little of color on what that, how that inventory adjustment works, and whether this is something that, you know, was unique to this particular quarter?
Yes, I can talk about that without any problem. There are two components to that inventory adjustment, Nick. One of them is the relationship between production and sales in a given quarter. In the other quarters of this year, we were producing more than we were selling. Q1 was one case like that. Q4 2018 was another point like that. So we had accumulated certain amount of copper as concentrate that wasn't moving on a quarterly basis at the same rate as the production. This thing has reversed in Q3, so we had higher sales than production, and that is the reason why we have this adjustment, because in the same way that we had inventoried those costs because we hadn't sold them in prior quarters, as we take them out of inventory and we flow them through the P&L when the sale occurs, that causes a recoup of those formerly inventory costs. So that is one part of the answer. The other part of the answer is that given the low production that we had in Q1 and Q2, we were our inventory cost was higher on a unit basis than normal, so that's a higher cost inventory that is being flowed through the P&L. On an annual basis, our inventory adjustments neutralize. We had exactly the opposite effect that you're describing in Q1, so it's basically a reversal of the situation.
Got it. So what we saw in this quarter in terms of the increased costs stemming from this inventory adjustment, that seems like a one-quarter event. And going forward, to the extent that, I guess maybe you can answer that, going forward, do you expect that, you know, conditions would turn towards normal and you wouldn't see this, you know, 10 or 11 cents per pound increase in your cost structure?
Yeah, because we've reversed most of what we had in the year, so it shouldn't be as dramatic an effect in Q4. At the end of the day, it all depends on your actual shipments and on the cutoff date. We try to be as efficient as we can towards the quarter end to avoid this kind of issues. And when we don't have a substantial inventory buildup from a prior quarter, then it's all it's a non-event. But in this case, we did have some inventory buildup from particularly from Q1 and Q2 that has now been flown out of the flown out of inventory. So we
got it.
So if I
look at your,
we didn't see it to the extent that we saw it in Q3.
Got it. Okay. So if I look at your third quarter results, just on the bottom line, you're showing like a 1 cent EPS loss. But there are three sort of temporary elements that are reflected in that. One is your refinancing old debt charge-off of $1.6 million. And secondly, you've got this inventory adjustment issue. And then thirdly, and maybe that's not as relevant because it's not going to be solved for another 6 months, is this drought that we weren't expecting. Have you sort of looked at, or can you give us what the normalized earnings would be if these three things had not happened?
Well,
or are there one of them, whichever one you feel comfortable telling me about?
No. I mean, it's just a very easy one. If we didn't have to book the loss on debt refinancing, our loss would have been $600,000. And we also had $800,000 of that swap adjustments, of which only $300 were cash. So we basically could have been on a neutral position without those two items. Another item
right.
You haven't noted, but which also has an effect, are the adjustments to prior quarter sales. We had $900,000 of those in Q3. Right now, the way if copper price continues to be at 269, which is the price today, we'll have possible settlement adjustments in Q4. So there will always be items that fall out of the ordinary, but if we just refer to the two items under finance expense that I have alluded, we basically would have had a no-loss quarter.
Got it. Okay, great. Thank you so much. Those were all my questions.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. The next question is from Terry Fisher of Toronto. Please proceed.
Yeah, CIBC Private Wealth. I don't think she got the name of the company. She thought it was media. In any event, first of all, guys, thanks for building the nice website. I really like the pictures on there. I think it's very well done. It's also quite easy to navigate the site, and I go on to many companies' websites, many billions of dollars larger than yours, that are much more difficult to get through with very few pictures. So congratulations on that. Is that Aurora doing that, or that's right. All right, so my first question is on the labor agreement. And last call, we went over the front-end bonus concept in detail. And Aurora has mentioned when those will be paid, and I assume they're expensed in those quarters, so one in the fourth quarter and then another one in the March quarter. But I just wanted to get a quick response on the agreement.
Let me interrupt you. We have to expense the full amount of the bonus in October. We have done that already because it's an obligation. How we structure the payment of the bonus is irrespective. We'll have the full labor cost impact in Q4 2019.
Okay, good to know. In fact, that's what I remember from the last call. But what I just wanted to get a quick read on is whether or not, irrespective of the settlement bonuses, that the agreement itself is satisfactory to you, and whether or not it bumps up the cost per ton by any, or sorry, per pound by any appreciable amount, that because obviously you can't pass it on. That's a function of copper prices. So Are you, you know, happy with the settlement in regard to your costs going forward?
I think there are several ways of answering that question. It is double the amount that we paid 3 years ago. It is a fraction of what we paid 7 years ago when copper prices were higher. So, you know, compared to other bonuses being paid at the same time as ours, it was a low bonus. And I think one unique feature that I've only seen in MVC is a structuring of the payment of that bonus in installments, that most companies have to face the reality of an immediate cash outlay, which is it's troublesome, right? So it could have been worse, certainly, than it was, but it's not an insignificant amount for us given the current copper price environment.
Right, but it's I think it's a three-year agreement going forward, and the terms of the agreement are give you enough flexibility to operate and manage costs.
Absolutely.
Correct. Okay, so my second question is that if we look at the quarter and say, okay, what is the run rate here? The new sump wasn't in until middle of July, and I don't know whether there's a sort of a run-in period for that, but it would have impacted the quarter a little bit versus what would have been the case if it had been operating coming in right at the beginning of the quarter. So what kind of difference do you think that would make, you know, just in general terms? I know you can't put an actual number on it, but we could have seen a better quarter if it had been operating for the full period?
No question, for sure. July was a tough month. You know, the weather had worked against us. We weren't as early as we hoped to be. So, I mean, July was a bit of a transitional month. So we really only had, you know, August and September delivering the goods from the better quality zone.
Would that explain then, because my next question was going to be what the primary driver was for the increase in the cash costs over last year, and I think last year was a pretty good quarter, but, you know, 138 up to 156, would that be because of what you just mentioned? Or is there another primary driver?
The primary driver is the production not being as high as we wanted it to be. So we are processing material in the mills, we're grinding it, but we're not getting the recovery that we had projected.
Right.
The shortfall in recovery led to a shortfall in pounds of copper. The dollars spent were a little bit less than last year, but the pounds, you know, weren't as good, so the unit costs were driven higher, primarily because production was a bit short.
Okay. Can I, the two quick ones at the end here. One is just coming back to slag. My sense from what you said is that once they get their plant up and operating, they're going to process their own slag, and you won't have that any more to do in the future.
That's the agreement that we have so far. You know, there is potential that it could go on for much longer, but, you know, we're not baking that into any plans right now.
Okay, final question is, well, the two related questions. One is I didn't read anywhere that El Teniente had settled any new labor agreement. I don't know whether there's a potential there for labor disruption. And the other related issue is whether or not there's, with the riding and so on, I know some things have happened at ports. I mean, Valparaiso is an issue, for example. Like, I don't know where concentrates are getting shipped from and so on, but is there any potential disruption from transportation issues that would affect you or El Teniente from labor?
Mm-hmm. El Teniente settled their labor agreements earlier this year. They have a three-year agreement, so they've got labor peace there. So we don't expect any disruptions. You know, the situation, you know, I mentioned is very calm here. People are just going about their normal lives. Restaurants are open late. There was talk of a port blockage, but it hasn't materialized. So, you know, we haven't seen any, you know, general action by, you know, of that specific type. That's not to say it can't happen, but so far it seems to be relatively calm.
Okay, well, those are all my questions, but I would agree with your comments in the report that there's been underinvestment in new copper mines, and grades are deteriorating. Old mines are getting mined out. And I think the real key to the story is if you can just keep going, the copper price is going to skate everything on side.
Yeah, you know, mines don't last forever, and copper demand goes up every year. So sooner or later, there's going to be a day of reckoning.
Super. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you. The next question is from Dave Brown of Willem. Please proceed.
Thanks for taking my call. Most of my questions have been answered, but I do have one about the grade of the historical tailings for El Teniente. I see historically it's been about 0.23 a few years back, and Q3 of 2018 it was 0.259, and the latest quarter is 0.270. Do you expect that grade to go up with your new sump, or is you expecting the 0.270 to be pretty well where it would plateau at?
It goes up as high as 0.3, on a weekly or monthly basis, but the average resource for the deposit is 0.265. So, you know, we are mining slightly above resource grade right now because we are in a very good spot in Carquinez. So, you know, we do expect grade to stay high for the near future, but in the long term, it will revert to the mean of 0.265.
Okay. So you've basically got the full benefit of the new sump with respect to grade at this point.
Correct. We are, we're literally taking stuff right from the bottom of the deposit, which was, deposited on, day one when the tailings dam was constructed, which, goes back to 1937, and that's when grades were good from El Teniente. So we are taking out the very best stuff right now.
Yeah. Okay, that answers my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from John Tumazos of Holmdel. Please proceed.
Thank you very much. Could you give us an update on your electricity costs and how much the civil unrest a couple weeks ago impacted either your operation or El Teniente, or if it's even relevant because there's 100 years' worth of tailings laying around?
Hi, John. With respect to the power price, we've locked in 100% of our power until 2031-ish. So we do have a very long-term power contract with a fixed price for all of our power consumed. And that fixed price is in the order of 9 cents U.S. per kilowatt hour. So, our power price does not vary with the weather like it does in the rest of Chile. Due to the drought right here, the spot price is as high as 14, 15 cents per kilowatt hour. We're locked in at around about 9. So, we're unaffected by the drought. In terms of unrest, we are down here a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, it was crazy. A lot of Chileans were pretty shocked at what went on. It was a big surprise. But, it hasn't morphed into anything catastrophic. They are still, downtown Santiago still has guys in the streets protesting. Yesterday there were some truckers on the highway driving slowly, honking their horns. So there still is some activism going on, but at the mine sites, like at El Teniente, no issues, and certainly here at NDC, no issues.
So you didn't lose an hour of production?
We did not lose anything. We had to work shifts whilst there was a curfew, but, we do that anyhow, so that wasn't a big deal. There's no curfews now, so we're 100% back to normal.
Now, your third quarter unit cost per pound compared to a year ago rose, and you described the three mixes of tailings, was the average grade of the tailings higher because you had more old tailings and more smelter slag, or were those just more expensive to process?
The smelter slag it doesn't enter into the computations. That's calculated as a byproduct credit. So the unit costs are just for, you know, the I guess the historic and fresh tails.
Well, we do have the slag cost, but the slag revenue offsets that.
So, you know, I think the difference between now and a year ago is simply because, you know, we are running more mills, we've got more equipment running, we've got the new plant operational, so more power has been drawn, but production hasn't gone as high as originally planned, and that's why the unit cost is a little bit, you know, higher than what we would have liked. But you know, compared to last quarter, it's significantly better. You know, last quarter was awful.
Thank you very much.
And you know, we do expect it to continue to improve. Q4, we expect it to go down again. One of the effects that is helping us is the Chilean peso. It is, you know, the exchange rate, the peso to U.S. dollar has, you know, been the lowest in 15 years. So that does help some of the local costs, translating into U.S. dollars. It is a bit cheaper to operate in Chile than it was, you know, a month ago.
Thank you. The next question is from Stephen Richler of Philadelphia. Please proceed.
Hi, Rob. Hey, I have a question about the water situation. So do you get all the water basically coming down the tailings channel, put that into the plant, recycle as much as you can, and then and pump it up to where you're extracting the tailings? Or do you also have your own sources, you know, essentially at the plant, you know, some sort of ponds, water supply ponds, things like that fill up during the rainy season?
Correct. We have our own sources. So, yes, the material coming down from El Teniente, you know, we need that water to process the fresh tailings. But the historic tailings we extract with water we have in a pond, so we do collect rainfall in a pond, and we also have access to river water, which we pump when we need it. So, you know, we do have our own supply of water, which we use to extract Tarquinas, and, say, the fresh, we rely on whatever El Teniente sends us.
Okay, so just, you know, hypothetically, if the rains did come back, would you be able to immediately use that water, or would there be some like sort of regulation on the river water? Hey, it's got to come back up by 50%, et cetera. I'm just wondering if there may be a way, even though we're saying it's going to be 6 months until you get the pipeline, that potentially this you could get additional water before that.
Theoretically, yes. Practically, you know, the next rainy season starts in June.
Okay.
So, you know, we are into the driest part of the year. But, you know, they do have winter rainfall down here, so the country gets most of its rain from, you know, June through to September. You know, October to, you know, May is typically very dry.
Okay. And then the last question is just with regards to the recoveries coming back up. When you move the pump and you got back into the deeper part where you were at that coarse material and you didn't have the fines and the slimes and everything, was there any sort of change, though, in the composition of the tailings that might be having something to do with changing, you know, the recovery itself? Or basically it was the same stuff that was up higher, you know, basically identical to what you were into before?
Yeah, it's, you know, there... It's a very big area that we're mining. We're not mining from a specific little rock face. It, you know, it is an immense area that we're mining. So we are taking parts from all over. But essentially, the material we're mining now is very similar to what we were mining in Q4 last year. And in Q4, you know, we had recoveries of 44% from Calcanus, and now we're seeing, you know, 36, 37. So the group of metallurgists that got together, you know, theorized that it is because the plant has been stressed over the last 6 to 8 months, it's It's built up, big circulating loads. Some parts are working well, some parts are not. Some parts are stressed, some parts are underused. And that, you know, is part of the calcareous material that's been in the circuit since Q4. So when they first started, everything was working pretty well, and now we're getting big circulating loads build up, which are stressing certain areas of the plant. So, you know, we did hit 44% in Q4 last year, so we should theoretically be at 44 at a minimum today. So, you know, there's good expectations that we will get recovery back up again.
Right. So it's about, okay, it's about basically the flow design, which you described earlier. I just wanted to make sure I understood, you know, correctly. It's not, I know this didn't happen, but you didn't go from a sulfite to an oxide all of a sudden, like, oh my God, none of this works anymore. This is just working out, like you said, a flow problem to get everything unstressed, it sounds like. Okay. Okay. Thanks very much for answering the questions.
You know, I think what Nick said, you know, debottlenecking, that's probably describes what we're doing best right now. We're trying to relieve some of the stressed areas of the plant and transfer the load to unstressed areas.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Operator, do we have any more questions?
Thank you. The next question is from Stephen Ottridge of Vancouver. Please proceed.
Hi, just the water situation intrigued me on this whole thing. So the tailings that come down from El Teniente, they're obviously in water, and that's enough water to run it through the whole plant. So your extra water that you're using is to move the material from Cauquenes and process it. So at the end of the day, the water that you got coming out the back end of everything, is that flowing back down the sump, down to Caron?
We have three very large thickeners before it goes into Caron. So we recover a lot of the water from those thickeners. We only have one pipeline going up to the mill right now, and that pipeline's running at 100%. So the metallurgists have identified opportunities to recover more water from those thickeners, but we don't have the physical infrastructure in place to pump that water up to the plant. So that's that the thickeners can recover more water internally.
So I understand that.
So
if it is
water, you know, the stuff we send down to Caron is at the same density as El Teniente sends it to us.
Okay. So if you manage to get more water at the back end here, that water will be used to pump material from Cauquenes.
No, it would be used to. We have enough water there, but to run the cyclones and to run the flotation plant, we need to add water into the circuit. So we reclaim that water in the thickeners, but the density we get from El Teniente and the density we get from Cauquenes is too high. And in order to run the equipment properly, we need to add dilution water.
Uh-huh.
Right now we are limited by the amount of dilution water because we only have one pipeline up from the thickener. We need two pipelines.
Okay, so
when we have that thickened pipeline, then we can use dilution water in the flotation cells, we can use dilution water in the cyclones, and we can get much better efficiencies.
Okay, so that excess water then right now that you've got at the back end, that's going down to Caron then? You've got to get rid of it?
No, we're using 100% of it, but what's happened is that El Teniente have increased the density of material, so they're sending less water down to us.
Oh, okay.
We're getting less water from El Teniente in their tailings, but to run cyclones and thickeners, we still need to add water, so we need to add more water because they're sending less to us. So they're also having water-saving initiatives and sending less water with the tailings to us. But we still need to run our plants. We need to add all the recycled water that we have, which is insufficient.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to return the meeting back over to Ms. Davidson. You may proceed.
Thank you very much, and thank you for everybody for your calls and continued interest in the company. As I mentioned earlier, we will touch base again mid-February to report 2019 annual financial results for the company. Thank you.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.